The first Mishnah in the second Perek, Bamim Adlikin, addresses the question of which Shmonim and Psilos can be used for Ner Shabbos, which oils, which wicks are qualify for the mitzvah of whether Adlokas Shabbos is Ner Shabbos is because of Kavod Shabbos, or that's because of Oneg Shabbos, or maybe the combination thereof. And we need wicks that are made of materials that hold the flame well, Nechezes Ha'or, and we need fuel that would be absorbed by the wick, that's oil that's going to produce, together with the wick, a steady flame. And there are two problems here, because if the flame flickers, then he might come to what's called hatoyas haner, to tip the receptacle in such a way that the shemen will go down to the wick, and that would be a violation of meleches havara. And in general, he may not be able to enjoy the benefit of the ner shavis if it's made from these inferior wicks. So the Mishnah opens up with a kind of a general term, Bame Madlikin Ubame Ein Madlikin. And it's interesting because the Mishnah answers by picking up the latter question, Bame Ein Madlikin, which are the wicks that are disqualified. And we're going to try to interpret some of these terms. The Gemara is going to get into some of them to identify them. Ein Madlikin. Number one, lobo lechesh. Lechesh, as we'll soon see, is called cedar bast. Now, what is B-A-S-T? Bast is the fibrous material from the phloem of a plant used as a fiber in making cord, etc. Or mattings. So we'll get more into this when we get to the Gemara. And then it says, V'lo b'chosen. Chosen is a kind of a flax, but it's not combed. And once again, we'll get back to the flax, you know, fibers that are used to spin tvia, what's called tvia, chutin, threads. And these flax fibers need to be separated, need to be combed, and which they have to remove smaller short of broken fibers. In any event, we'll get back to chosen in just a minute. Velo becholach. Cholach is a type of silk. There's normal silk and there's kolach silk, the latter of which is disqualified as a wick. Velo b'psilas ha'idon, which again we're back to this concept of a bast, but in this case it comes from a willow. And again, the bast is that fibrous material from the phloem of the plant, that fiber. And here it's from a willow plant. We have to think why, in the case of bast, does the Mishnah identify these two plants specifically? I mean, the truth is that bast are the fibrous materials that come from any plant and are used for, you know, as fiber. But our Mishnah calls our attention to two kinds of bast. One is lechesh, and the other is cholach. Lechesh comes from the cedar, and cholach from silk. I'm sorry. I meant cholach. Let me scratch that last sentence. Cholach, we said, was floss, silk, and Psilas Ha'idon is a kind of wick made from another bast, the bast of a willow, and Velob Psilas Ha'midbar, and that's kind of a fiber from the desert. I guess a kind of desert plant. Velob Yeroka Shal Pnei Ha'mayim, this green stuff which we call moss, is sea moss, which collects under the ship, and people will somehow use it as a wick, but it doesn't hold the flame well, and it's disqualified. And now we're talking about the second part of this mission, not wicks, but oil or fuel. Velob zephes, zephes is pitch. Velob shava, which is wax. Again, we're going to have to get into this because keep in mind that wax is classic for candles. I don't know why it cannot substitute for oil, but we'll see. We actually light candles on Shabbos from wax. Velob shemen kik. Okay, shemen kik we used to call castor oil. However, I don't think that's what it means here in this context. Let's translate shemen kik as one of three different types of oils, which the Gemara is going to explain what they are. And then we have a lo b'shemen sreifa. Shemen sreifa is shemen that has to be burned. And shemen in this context might mean shemen tmeya that was truma, or something else that requires sreifa. Then we have lo v'alya v'lo b'chelev. Alya comes from a sheep's tail, and it's also some sort of a fat. V'lo b'chelev. Chelev is translated into English as tallow, T-A-L-L-O-W, which is a hard fatty substance made from rendered animal fat, and it's used in making candles or soap, and that's called tallow. And Nochem Amodi Omer Madlikim B'Chelev Mevushal. However, Nochem Hamadi holds that we may actually kindle with tallow, with this hard fatty substance, as long as it's mevushal, it's been boiled. So if it's mevushal and it's in this molten state, then Nochem Hamadi holds that once it was melted down by boiling, it can be used. He disallows tallow in its original state, let's call it the raw state, natural. But once he processes the tallow, then he can use it as shemen, as fuel for his Shabbos candle. Chachomim omrim, Chachomim say echad mevushal v'echad she'ena mevushal, which sounds like they're repeating what we saw before Nochem Hamadi, that's chelev. So we have to see if they're explaining the Tanakhama or they're disagreeing with the Tanakhama, but basically they say that this tallow, whether it's boiled or in its natural raw state, is excluded, it's disqualified in Malikimbo, we cannot use it. The Gemara now tries to identify all these different substances that were mentioned in the Mishnah, and the Gemara starts with lechesh, which is the first thing in the Mishnah, and the Gemara identifies lechesh as Shocha diarza, which is the bark of the cedar tree, but that can't be, the Gemara says, because the bark of a cedar tree is not something that you could use as a wick. You know, it's good if you want to make a campfire, because if lechesh is the bark of a cedar tree, the bark of a tree, the shuvah diarza eitz bialmu, it's just a piece of ordinary wood. You cannot use it as a wick. Again, if you want to use it as a for a bonfire, to feed your fire, Rashi says you could use it as a torch. So why did the Tana disqualify something that can't even be used as a wick at all? You know, we want to say that these are all wicks, but they're not on the highest level, and therefore they're disqualified. But here, it's not a wick at all. So the Gemara now redefines lechesh. The Armanisa de Isbe. Armanisa, Amrana is always wool in Aramaic. Here it's a woolly substance that is in the bark. Might be it's below the bark, between the bark and the wood. And that's called bast, as we said at the outset. And we're talking about the bask of a willow tree. And the bast of a willow tree is located between the bark and the wood of the cedar tree. Below b'chosen, that's second on our list. And if you remember that we spoke about chosen as flax. So what is chosen? Amar Rav Yosef ne'ores shel pishtan, which means the toe, T-O-W, of the pishtan, of the flax. And toe, as we indicated before, are these short, broken fibers that come from either flax or hemp, and they're used for yarn or twine or stuffing. And in the English translation, he has a footnote here that before the flax fibers can be spun into thread, they must be separated. And that's a kind of a combing process. In English, fancy English, it's called hackling. Hackling was originally done with the fingers rather than with a comb. And not only the parts of the fibers, but also to remove the short broken fibers that are unsuited for making linen thread. And these short broken fibers are called ne'ores, in English tau, T-O-W. And they can be used as wicks, but they don't hold the flame well, and therefore they are disqualified. Omale Abai turns to Rav Yosef and he says, "V'aksiv, what about a pasuk in Yeshayo and Navi, V'hoya hechason lani'ores?" Which implies, I mean, it depends on your girsa here. We have one girsa that's Michal de Chosen Lav Nioris. You can't identify Nioris as Chosen when in the Pasuk they are spelled out as two separate things. So Chosen, and which here in our Mishnah is Chasan without the Vav in the Pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi according to Abaye. And if chasan is toe, then implies that chasan and toe, well, we have ne'ores, and we just said that according to Rav Yosef, chosen is ne'ores of pishtan. But if you're going to tell me that the word chosen means Neoris shel pishtan, so what does it mean, chosen and lineoris, as two separate things, implying that chosen and neoris, which we defined as toe, are two separate things. So therefore, based on this pasuk, the Gemara reinterprets the term chosen and says, "Elam Rabaye, what is chosen? Kis ki sana de dayik velo nofitz. It's flax whose stems have been beaten, but whose fibers have not been combed. So the process of making flax requires that we first soak the natural flax, and then the flax is beaten to break apart certain fibers. And these fibers, through the combing process called hackled, have to be separated. And before the fibers are separated, the flax does not draw oil well. So I'm not sure if it means that the fibers themselves are being used here as wicks and they're disqualified, or the flax, the kisana itself, is disqualified. I mean, more likely the impression I get, please tell me if you get a different impression, is that what we're talking about here in Chosen or Niores are these broken short fibers of the flax. That's the impression I got. And then after you soak the flax, then you sort of break up the fibers and release certain fibers that are broken, and they're not suited for making linen threads, but not only that, they are not really the best wicks, and they're excluded here in our Mishnah. Let me just read to you one note over here. He says, give ole pishtan, so the fibers of the flax, ovrim shlosha shlavim lihikones litvia lechutim. So the first is shriya b'mayim. As we said, it has to be soaked in water, then ketisha b'machteshes, and that was similar to the beating that we spoke about to separate the fibers. And finally, siruk b'masreik hanikra niputz, which is combing. And chosen, he writes, Ovarak shnei shlavim rishonim, and only went through the first two stages. And kevich lo nupatz, since it hasn't been combed, is ein hashemen nimshach achrov, v'ein adolik yofa, so it's not going to be a good wick. So he seems to be learning that it's the flax itself. We thought it was these small broken fibers of the flax. Now, in terms of chelach or kelach, Amar Shmuel, Sha'altinu lechol nachtume yoma, I asked the seafarers, the Amri, and they told me that kulchoshme, did I get that right? Kulcha? And it's called kuchla. No. It's called kulcha. Kulcha. Fine. Basically, he just adds a vav between the chaf and the lamed here. And we're wondering what this means. He says, it's a woolly substance found on stones in the sea and is identified with Sisaros blossom. And in the Hebrew, he tells you that we're not introducing a whole new shita here, but rather Shmuel is interpreting the mission of Cholach as kulcha,
And he has here a definition from the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, as Tzemer HaGodel Al Avonim Misuyonis HaNimtzos Bayam. That's what we said before. The stones are covered with this kind of woolly substance. And this is as opposed to Rabbi Yitzchak, which we're going to see now. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Zeira Omar, Kelach is Gushkara, which is Psoles HaMeshi. So we're talking about an inferior grade of silk that's made from the cocoon of a silkware, which is combed and spun and woven into cloth. And this is identified as, in English, as floss silk, which is unsuitable for use as a wick, Rashi tells, because the flame flickers. And the word gushkara is used in the Gemara Gittin to denote any sort of an inferior product, like coarse bread, for example. Now here he speaks in the Hebrew about tolas ha-meshi, something which is osui kikova, voyaminaptim es ha-kova, vitovim imenu chutin, osu imenu begodim, vachutim nikraim gushkira, upsulim lipsila. So these kinds of threads are disqualified as wicks. Kemen she'ena shel heves nechezes ben yofi, the flame flickers. Right, that's what we said here. So it's not clear, but it seems, based on at least the Vilna Gaon's interpretation, that Kulcha of Shmuel and Kelach of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Zeir, which is identified as Gushkara, are two different things. Because in the first case, in Shmuel's interpretation, we seem to be discussing some sort of a moss on stones, whereas Rav Yitzchak bar Zeir identifies it as some sort of an inferior grade silk. So that would mean we have two different shitas as to what kelach is. The Gemara tells us the following story. Ravin Vabaye Havi Yasve Kame de Ravana, Ravana Nechemia, Achoi de Resh Galusa. So we have Ravin and Abai, and they're sitting in front of Rabbana Nechemia. It would be that Rabbana is really the same as Rav, but in Aramaic. And he, Rabbana Nechemiah, is the brother of the Resh Galusa, who's the Jewish representative, the head of the Jewish community in Bavel. Chaziat Avilovish Mitachsa. In other words, he was wearing a silk garment. Omale Ravin Le Abaye. So Ravin turns to Abaye and he says to Abaye, Hainu Koloch Disnan. This is the Koloch of our Mishnah. Omar Le. So after Ravin said this to Abaye, Abaye says back to Ravin, Anan Shira Pardino Karina Le. This kind of a beged is produced from a bad which is called Parandana. Parandana silk. Now again, Rav Yitzchak bar Zeira had interpreted Kalach
in our Mishnah as a kind of silk, but as it was an inferior grade silk. Ravin, on the other hand, holds that it's regular silk that was worn by Rabbanu Nechemya. Abai apparently disagrees with Ravin, and he holds that the Rabbanu Nechemya silk is called Paranda silk, and Kalach is the inferior grade silk. So that's something here that the Maharam has a long discussion about. And in the Masifta we have a long piece about this. So we'll see at least a few lines in the Masifta. He says, HaMaharam, Kosa v'bir malach ha-sugya she-taskisa, hu beged ha-osu me-ikar ha-meshi, V'Ravin Amar Shehu Akelach Sheshanina B'Mishrei Malikim Bo V'Cholek Al Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ze'ira. So Ravin is against Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ze'ira, who holds a Kelach is Gushkira, which is Psoles HaMeshi. That's the inferior silk. El Sover Shekelach Hu Ikar HaMeshi V'Amalo Abayi She'eno Kein Sharei Mitaska Nikra bimkomenu shira pandasa parnida velo kelach. And behechrech, therefore, she kelach eno ikar ameshi elopsolas ameshi ukedive Rabbi Yitzchok bar Ze'ira. Omnam Ravan sovra shekain shira parnida vekelach hainu hach. Umaksha HaGemora. Now we're up to the Kushas HaGemora Mesve. If Ravin actually identifies the Taksika as Kelach in our Mishnah, and Ravin is now saying that as opposed to Rabbi Yitzchok, who learns that it's Psolas HaMeshi, this Kelach is Ikar HaMeshi, Gemara asks Mesve, what are we going to do with the Braisa? The Braisa says, Hashirayim V'akelach V'asirikin Chayovim B'tzitzis. So let's go through these. Regular silk and Kelach silk, and Sirikin, which is corded silk, and it's combed silk, are all subject to the law of Tzitzis, the Chayav B'Tzitzis. So we have different kinds of materials made from different parts of the silk. The material that's made from the soft side of the silk is called Sirikin. It splits and forms cords. Now, according to this Braisa, we can talk about begadim that are chayav in tzitzis that go beyond semer or pishtan. Or else maybe this Braisa is talking about a chiyuv drabanan in the case of silk. But one thing is clear from this Braisa is that Kelach and Shirayim are two separate things. Is Tufta the Ravin Tufta? This Braisa refutes Ravin. So it's interesting, the Gemara now tries to reconcile Ravin with this Braisa. Ibais Ema, perhaps we could say that Shira Lechud Veshira Pardino Lechud, that there's regular silk, that's one thing, and Paranda silk is another thing. And that's why the Braisa mentions them separately. So Ravin identified the silk garment that was worn by Rabbi Nechemya as the Kelach of HaMishnah. Abai gave it the name Paranda silk. And the Gemara is suggesting now that Paranda silk, which is Kelach, is a different grade of silk. Perhaps it's the finest grade of silk, and therefore is the type that was favored by the brother of the Reish Galusa, and maybe was rare and difficult to obtain. So to defend Ravin, the Gemara offers in this new interpretation of the Braisa, then when it says Shirayim and then it says Kelach, these are two types of silks. There's Shira, which is, I guess, regular silk, and then there's Kelach, which is the Paranda silk that Abaye had mentioned before, which is a superior kind of silk that was worn in the garment of Rabbana Nechemia. But basically, both of them, according to Ravin, are being excluded from their Shabbos as valid wicks. Then the Mishnah says, "V'lo b'fsilas ha'idon." As we said before, there's another kind of bast, of fibers from a plant. And achvina, this refers to the woolly substance found between the bark and the wood of a willow tree. Ravin v'abayavi ka'ozli b'pakta d'tamrus rurisa. Rav and Abai were walking in a valley which was called Tamrurisa. Chazinu Lahanu Arbasa, and they saw some willow trees. Amalei Rav and Abai, Rav turns to Abai and he says, Hainu Idan Disnan. That's the willow tree that the Mishnah was talking about. Amalei Abai replies, Hahi Eitz Bi'almahu. That is just an ordinary tree. In other words, that which we're looking at, these willow trees, are ordinary trees. So what is it? What does it have to do with wicks? You know, a tree, as we said before, could be used as wood and even, you know, for a torch, but it's not for wicks. So at that point, Kolaf, Ravin peels away some of the bark, v'achvile, and he shows Abaye Amronisa de Beni Beni, a woolly substance that's within it. Or again, I think that Beni Beni might not be exactly within it, but it means under the bark of the tree, before the wood of the tree. And this is the fibrous material from the phloem of a plant used as fiber. The Mishnah continues, V'lo b'fsilas hamidbar, desert fiber, shavra. Now shavra is called in English a nettle, N-E-T-T-L-E. It's a tall grass, and you could braid it, you could use it for wicks, but it won't hold the flame too well. The Mishnah now, completing the list of wicks, those that are unfit for Ner Shabbos, says, V'lo b'yiroka, not with the green that's on the surface of the water. Maihi, what is the Mishnah referring to? Ilema, if we'll say it's ukamta d'charitzi, a kind of dark greenish substance, we call it algae, that grows on the surface of trenches containing standing water, is iparuche mefarchan. Such a substance will crumble, it cannot be made into wicks. And therefore we have to identify the Iroka. Elomar Rav Papa Uchamta di Arba. These are the greenish or dark greenish substances, we call it moss, that grow on the underside of the hull of a boat. and sea moss is sturdy enough to be made into wicks, but it doesn't hold a flame well, and therefore it's disqualified. Tana, we learned in a brisa, Hosifu aleim shel tzemer v'shel seyar. They added to the Mishnah's list of psilos ha-psulim, disqualified wicks, when you make the wicks of wool and of hair. Okay then, so let's see about these wicks that are made of wool and hair. He says the Mishnah disqualifies these wicks up until now because they don't hold the flame well. Brisa has a different ground for disqualification, and that means the inability of these wicks to draw oil, and that invalidates wool and hair. V'tana didan, why did our Tana bother to disqualify wool on hair? Tzemer michvatz kovetz, because if you ignite wool, it curls. Seyar ichachuche michachrich, and the hair sort of singes or burns. So it went without saying. Tana of our Mishnah didn't even bother to exclude wool and hair, tzemer and seyar, because these materials cannot draw oil to feed a flame. The flame will quickly extinguish. And the reason for that is because the flame actually burns them up. So these are inherently incapable of serving as wicks. In Hebrew, Nisraf miyad kshemadlikim osovi eino dole klal l'chein ein tzarch limnos. He doesn't have to mention tzemer u'seyar as those that are excluded, and probably and also prohibited, as we said before, because of shemayata. The afal pisha gama tana mishnah seinu sover shein madlikim v'tzemer u'seyar mikol makom kevan she'enom ru'uyim klal adloka. Is lo shayach lisno some of a Mishnah, but shayach lishanos bebraisa shechacham hosifu lifsol gam tzemer v'seyar mipnei shehosifu leposlam kishar psilos hapsulos shasurim badlok mishum she'en shemen nimshach achreihem v'toma marsha shalo sof sof ein chiluk ledina. Machmas hosofas abraisa umai hosofas zu. So we're still trying to work hard to understand why the braisa had to bother to add wool and hair, which incinerate. And the Achronim quoted Gemara later on that gozu chacham shalo likroch psila chemuta lahadikba gabi psila shaosu lahadikba. You cannot combine two different psilos, one that's kosher, one that's prohibited. Shema yovel ahadlik bipsila asur bifnei atzma. Otherwise, he may come to light with that wick that's alone in and of itself is prohibited. And if that be the case, nimtza sheish hevdil halocha bo sofas abrais of the ofen shekarach psilo ksheira gabitzemer oseya. Shel divrei hatana mishnah seinu Shalomona osom bein psilos hapsulos mutu lahadlik biofen zeh avol divrei abraisa osu lahadlik gam biofen zeh kim shetzemer useyar he b'chol hapsilos sha'osru chachomim lahadlik bohen v'asurus gam b'tarovas im psilo k'shera. Fascinating. So that the braisa adds wool and hair as psilos asuros, the Mishnah would hold, and not psilos, they command the lesson, it's like nothing. And then afkabina here is going to be when you combine it with a psila hamuteres. And the braisa might say that then you're not allowed to use that combination. Then it says velo bezefes, which we said was pitch. Velo B'shava. So let's see what the Gemara says about Zephes.
Zephes, says the Gemara. Just 1 second. I'm sorry. What am I missing here? Zephes Zifta. Why am I missing that? Oh, here it is. Zephes Zifta. Okay, so I guess in Aramaic you just simply add an aleph at the end. Shava Kirusa. Okay, Kirusa is another way of saying wax. So the Aramaic word for wax is Kirusa. Now he writes here, Vehi Psoles Hadvash. So I'm not sure exactly how you make wax out of honey. Tana, we learned in a Braisa Adkan, up to what it says in the Mishnah, Yeroka Shalpnei Amoyim, and including that is Psul Psilos, Mikan V'Elech Psul Shmonim. And now the balance of the Mishnah, after Yeroka Shalpnei Amoyim, is going to be Psul Shmonim. So Zephes is a psul shemen. Zephes is a min shuman shachar, a black fatty substance, hayotzi min ha'eitz, and it comes from an eitz that's called a figa tree. So the Gemara asks pshita. You know, as we can see clearly without this brisa that from Zephes and on, we're not dealing with something that could be used as wicks. Why did the brisa feel compelled to tell us that? The Gemara answers Shava Itzrichle. The brisa really interested not in Zephes but in Shava. Ma'u detema lepsilos nami lo chazia. He may have made out of this kind of a wax a tsuras psila. It looks like a wick, which means, let's say he took a thread and he wrapped shava around the thread. This is similar to some of the wax that we have, and the braisa wants to tell us it's not ru'uya lahadlaka b'shavis. And we would say that in this case, the Mishnah might be excluding it because it cannot serve as a wick. Kamash Malan, the Bryce wants to tell us that this case of Shava is not excluded, it's not disqualified, because if he makes a candle out of wax, which means there's wax molded around long wicks, so in the Havamina we might have thought that these were prohibited for Shabbos use, and Kamash Malon, the Mishnah is teaching us that no, that it's possible b'toras shemen, but not b'toras psila. The wax is only disqualified when it's placed into this receptacle as an oil, as a fuel. But if it's formed into a candle, as we said before, it's molded around wicks, then it's permitted. And that's Rashi's Shita here in this Gemara, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shri Ragon prohibits the use of wax candles on Shabbos, and he interprets the Gemara differently, as we can see here in Tosfos. The Bach, however, says that even according to Rav Shri Ragon, if he gets purified pitch or purified wax,
and then the wax will be drawn well by the wick. They can be used as candles, even according to Rav Shrira Gaon. So let me just see. He says that according to, one second, is when is it mutter? He says kimishame kishemishamesh kipsila mamish vahini shaminiach nera shav soch kli in shemen kosher. So he has another interpretation here in the name of the Chachmei Narvona, that the heter here of a ner shava is limited, it only applies if he uses it as a psila mamish, which means meniach ner shav betoch kli im shemen kosher. So he's just using the ner shava into a receptacle full of oil. So it's only that the ner shava, so like drawing up the oil, but to light the ner shava unto itself without soaking, without placing it into an oil receptacle, that would be prohibited, because shava is aser badlok. That's the sheet of the Chachmei Narvona. Now the Mishnah had listed amongst the disqualified oils shava, and there's a Mishnah later on in Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis that quotes Machlokas Tanoim about Itron, Ayin Tet Reish Nun, whether it's Koshel Adlok or not. So Gemara now wants to define what Itron and Shava is. Omar Rami Bar Ovin, Itrona Psulta de Zifta, Shava Psulta de Duvshana. So Itron is the psoles of Zephes. The psoles means the residue of pitch. 32, he says Itron is the clear resinous byproduct obtained through the heat employed in the distillation of pitch. Which means that li'achar shiyotzeis ha-zefes me'ha'etz al yidei chimum ha'etz be'esh yotzeis psoles tzlula kishemen. And it's different than zefes itself. So as a result of the heating process, he's going to get some sort of psoles tzlula kishemen. And the impression I'm getting is that this itron is excluded. Let me see if that makes sense. So apparently, if I understand correctly, that's going to be a controversy. That's going to be machlokas tanoim later on in Chav Dalet Amud Beis. And what's the status of itron, since it's, as we said before, yotzeis psoles tzlula kishemen, and as a result of this heating process you end up with a kind of a clear oil, then it might be qualified. That's going to be one opinion. Shava is the psoles of dvash, the residue of honey, and here we're referring to beeswax, which is made from the honeycombs of a beehive, from which the honey has already been extracted. And the Gemara says, "Lemainaf gemina." Okay, so here we're going to turn to Daf Chaf Aleph Omid Aleph. Lemainaf gemina. Why is it relevant here to tell me that shava is psolus of dvash? And the Gemara answers, Lemekach u'memkar, that if he agrees to sell shava, he can give him psoles dvash without a tikkun. So in other words, we had already identified shava as kirusa, which is wax, and that was familiar, of a familiar substance. So Gemara is now wondering, when Rami Bar Ovin identifies Shav as the residue of honey, what is his purpose? Shalobira HaGemara Mainaf Gemina Rak L'Gavi Shav L'Gavi Itchon. Okay, fine. This is only Gavi Shav. Gemara Sovra Shein L'Farish Rabbi Bar Choma Bo Gak L'Farish Mahein Itchra V'Shava Shuzkru V'Mishna Shein Madlikim V'Shavis Shea Poshu the Gemara Shein Hayu Yiduim L'Kol. That's what Tos says, Dira Maska L'Mai. So we knew exactly, and it was well known, what these substances are. So the Gemara wants to know, what is Rami Bar Choma coming to teach me? And the answer is, for commercial purposes, if he sells him wax, then he's referring to the residue of honey. These are honeycombs from which the honey has already been extracted. So if the contract was to sell wax, he's got to provide him with such residue. The buyer cannot demand further processing. And he says, "V'chein be'itran ha'kavana l'psolas zefes v'ini yochal ha'kona l'tovo shi'isak neim kavroi el k'fisha yotze ha'itran me'a'etz v'chein ha'shava me'a'dvash." So this is all Tosfos in Maskil Amai, that the buyer has no right to demand from the seller that he further, that he do more of a process of tikkun, but rather he can give them this extract as it is in nature, this residue of pitch or honey. That's the nafkamina gabi mekach u'memkar. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa. Kol elu sha'amru ein madlikim b'Shabbos. Those that are excluded as a psila, and let's say he wants to light them with shemen. Aval osem ehem midura. He can make a bonfire out of them. Now, what's the chidusher of a bonfire? Kidei l'schamem kenegda bein l'shtamish li'ora u'bein al gabi karka bein al gabi kira v'lo osrel l'asos mem psil l'ner bilvat. He can use these disqualified wicks, like we spoke about bast or flax, if it's uncombed, as examples. You can use them to make a larger fire, to warm himself up, to use it for light, or to put it on the ground or on a stove. All these are permitted. And basically what he's saying is that there's no chashash of Shemayata. So you have a large fire and it's composed of many pieces of fuel, and the wicks will continue to ignite one another. The rabbis are therefore no longer concerned that he would do chitui or hatoya, that he would stoke the fire. That's not a chashash. And ein b'madura sachshash yesh b'psila she'ein ha'esh nitfeses ba v'yovel idei atoya. As a wick, we were afraid that he might come to tip over the nair itself, the receptacle, as we said. But nire sha'heter hu af b'madlik kama psilos yachad b'toch shemen kosher. Let's say he would gather together a number of these wicks that were disqualified and put them all together in oil, in very good oil. Is that would be okay? Kevishab sila achas mavira es chaverta. One wick would catch fire for the other one, and there's no chashash of hatoya because the flame is not going to go out. However, he points out here in the note that the poskim seem to indicate that the heter is dafka Sha'ose madura me'apsil. He has to make a large fire. Hainu kishemadlikam bifnei atzma below shemen. And he lights them on their own without oil, kimiduras eitzim, as a bonfire made of many logs of wood. And therefore, we're going to say that the heter is that masha eino ar nitfeses bipsilos elu, whom ibnei she'eino moshchos heitevis hashemen, that these various psilos in our Mishnah were disqualified because they don't draw the oil, and therefore we're afraid of hatoya, where he brings the wick closer to the oil. But ofen she'enom tzrichos l'shemen, in a case where there's no element of oil whatsoever, boros b'medur b'fnei atzman, which is burning them as if they were firewood without any oil, v'hein dolkos heitev, and they do burn, is ein chashashi yitaknei b'shabbos. We're not afraid that he might come to play around with him on Shabbos. And so too, we can use these various disqualified wicks, al gabi karka and kira, and velo osru el lasus mem psila lener bilvat. So the last part of the brayso, lasus mem psila, teaches us that this head there, with regard to psilos psulos, let's say, for example, when we get to oils, that's the second half of our mission that we discussed, these are disqualified oils, then there's no heter to make a bonfire out of the oils. Lo niach b'shemen posel kama psilos ksheros. Let's say you have shemen that was disqualified, you put many wicks that are kosher, and you light them together, that would be forbidden. So what we got up to now is Shemen Kik. So Blinetter will talk about Shemen Kik in the next shiur.